Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are packed. It is a Monday. We are live in L.A. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. What a crazy weekend we had this weekend. And coming up in 1 hour, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Joy Taylor, we're ready to go. It feels like tonight will be, we're built to this crescendo to tonight, and by the end of tonight, we'll have had the best 3 days of football of the year.
Definitely. I'm very excited for tonight. I have some thoughts on how I think it's going to go, but I'm excited either way.
Let's start with Kansas City falling behind 24-0 and then coming back to beat Houston. Now, I've been saying this multiple times over the last several weeks. I like Lamar Jackson, but if you're asking me who I want to be my quarterback over the next decade, it's Patrick Mahomes. Here was the interesting thing in that game before we go to tape. Here was the interesting thing. Unless you're from Kansas City and a diehard Chiefs fan, take them out of it. But for guys like me and people like you, even when Kansas City was down 24-0, you were saying what I was saying. Just get a play, get a break, get a fumble, big kickoff. They're fine. They're down 24-0. They're fine. They're at home. They just need. Did you watch Patrick Mahomes on the sideline? There was no panic. Andy Reid's play calling. There was no panic. You watched the sideline. There was no panic. They were down 24-0. Just say that out loud. Playoff game, down 24-0. And Mahomes is like, just make a play. Let's just get it going. There's no panic. Nobody's freaking out. Andy's not freaking out. Here we go. And then they got the big kickoff. And then it's like, we all thought the same thing, unless you're a Chiefs fan. All right, here we go. Let's go. Let's get. But when Baltimore trailed 21-6 in the second half at home, you could even see it a little bit with the Ravens coaching staff. There was a little apprehension. The play calling at one point I thought was weird in the first half. Just do what you do. And that is because Mahomes is not somebody we'll ever figure out. And barring an injury, he's going to be Peyton Manning, or he's going to be Brady, or he's going to be Favre. You don't figure out the best pure passer in football. Nobody figured out Elway. Nobody figured out Marino. He didn't win a bunch of Super Bowls, but he was great until the very end. Lamar is different. He is unique. You have to build an offense that is run first, heavy tight end, get him a legitimate back, and that's not an offense. In fact, they went and got Greg Roman, who is a unique coordinator for their unique talent. Now, I'm not bailing on Lamar. He's going to win a bunch of games. But this is the reason I would choose Mahomes over Lamar. Not because of the weekend. Because if you look at Kansas City, they're a pass-first team. They're built to win from deficits. And if you play for 15 years in this league, some years you have terrible defenses. Remember when Tim Tebow was winning games? Everybody's like on Tebow, and I'm like, you guys do get that if you quarterback for 10 years, you're not going to get a defense like that Denver defense and Matt Prater kicking 60-yard field goals. You can win with Mark Sanchez in a great running game. You can win a lot of ways, but you better be able to win trailing 24-0. And there's only about 1 to 2 to 3 quarterbacks at a time in this league, maybe two. Aaron Rodgers in his prime, Peyton Manning in his prime, you know, Favre. This is why I think this is the choice for quarterback for the next 15 years. Kansas City is built to win a million ways. By the way, we've seen him win in snow. We've seen him win with a lead. We just saw him trail 24-0, and you never once, unless you're a Chiefs fan, you weren't freaking out. The play calling didn't change. The players didn't change. The game didn't change. And the minute they got the kickoff, you're like, okay, all right. They switch field position. Here we go. Two plays later, score. Kansas City scored 7 touchdowns. No drive was longer than 3 minutes and 55 seconds. It's different, and it's the kind of offense I think that will last forever. I don't think in the offseason coordinators are saying, hey, we're going to figure this Mahomes guy out. I do think they're coordinators that look at Lamar and say, okay, let's get super athletic linebackers. At the point of attack, you have to get on him. Let's crowd the box. Let's make him throw over the top. I do think there are riddles to Baltimore that you can solve. Not every week, not every half, not every drive, not every game. But when I watched Kansas City coming back from 24-0, I thought it was not just the most important Kansas City win. It was an essential win for Patrick Mahomes to prove I'm the guy for the next 15 years. Because none of us felt different. 24-0. I think all of us, even in the first half down by a couple touchdowns with Lamar, I felt like, ooh, they're kind of solving a little bit for the moment in this little time capsule for 2 hours in Baltimore. They're kind of solving. I don't feel like anybody ever solves Mahomes. And if you asked every GM in this league privately, every stinking one of them, if they would trade their quarterback for Patrick Mahomes today, all of them would say yes. Oh, my bad, except Chicago. They're all in on Trubisky. Wink, wink. They'd all trade their quarterback for Patrick Mahomes. Many would trade for Lamar. But there'd be some that say, can we have Greg Roman too? Can we get those tight ends too? I thought it was an essential game to really plant the flag. This is the guy more than any. And you know I love me some Russell Wilson. You know I love me some Tom Brady. This is the guy for the next 15 years, barring any, you know, really bad injury. Here's Patrick after.
Obviously, we didn't want to be in that spot, but the biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. We don't care if we're down 24 or if we're up 24. We're going to put our best effort every single play, and I think that's just the mentality of this team.
All right, so let's move to Green Bay's win over Seattle. Now, let me just say this. I've not been a big Packers fan. I acknowledge they won their division. I acknowledge their seeding. And I will acknowledge they won the game. But you can get to a conference championship without being great. Blake Bortles got there in Jacksonville. Mark Sanchez got there with the Jets. A lousy Colts team got there with Andrew Luck. And the Vikings got there with Case Keenum. No, we know Aaron Rodgers is not Case Keenum. We know he's not Blake Bortles. But you can get to a conference championship in this league. If you win a division where two teams implode, Chicago and Detroit, when you're easily the best quarterback or healthiest quarterback in a division, the NFC North, when you get a home field bye, check, and then you play an injury-ravaged team off another road game, Seattle. I don't think Green Bay's great. I think they got things to work in their favor. I think Matt Stafford gets hurt. Trubisky gets exposed. Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. What do they have? Three first downs until the fourth quarter this weekend. And I think they beat up a ravaged Seattle team. And if not for Aaron Rodgers making two great throws on a 3rd and 8 and a 3rd and 9, I think Seattle wins. That first one to Geronimo Allen, if that puppy hits the dirt first and it was close, you saw Aaron Rodgers point to the sky on that. Seattle's getting the ball back. Green Bay's defense is exhausted, and Russell Wilson's red hot, and we have a different show today. I don't love Green Bay. I don't think they're as physical as Tennessee. I don't think they're as explosive as Kansas City. And I don't think they have the players and the depth of the 49ers. You know who they remind me of? The Wisconsin Badgers. I respect the hell out of them. It's a good football operation. I always trust the executives upstairs. The coach appears good enough. But when you watch Wisconsin against Ohio State, they don't look the same. They don't look like Clemson. They don't look like LSU. They don't look like Ohio State. They don't look like Alabama. But they're good. And they win like 10 games a year. And I respect the hell out of them. And I respect Green Bay. But they don't look like Kansas City. I mean, if you take Devontae Adams away, who does Aaron like to throw to? Because Patrick Mahomes likes to throw to four different guys, then his tight end. They don't look like San Francisco up front. Dee Ford now is healthy, and Quan Alexander, hard pass, don't want to face them. I think Aaron Rodgers, he's a smart guy. That's why you give him any shot, just their quarterback. And I think even he acknowledges we're 14-3, but if you look around at what's left, there's a big gap between getting to that conference championship and beating a San Francisco there and potentially beating a Kansas City in Miami. Here's Aaron.
To walk off the field, being a two seed, where, I mean, let's be honest, I don't know that even our fans felt supremely confident in us, which I know that a lot of the media didn't as well. But to be able to walk off that field again victorious, there's no feeling like it.
Nobody's disputing they won a division and they're in the conference championship. But I think even Aaron acknowledges there's questions. And the only reason I gave Seattle a chance to beat Green Bay was Russell Wilson, which I didn't think would be good enough. And the only reason I give Green Bay a chance against San Francisco is Aaron Rodgers. And that doesn't feel like enough.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I think the reason the show continues to do well as we're loyal to honesty. I'm not in the credit business. That's MasterCard and Visa. I'm in the honesty business. I don't protect players. I think I'm tough on guys, especially quarterbacks. But there are a lot of people in the media that are constantly, they think they're doing athletes a favor and they're pandering. It's my least favorite quality. Stop pandering. Stop coddling. These are millionaires. Lamar Jackson didn't play well. He deserves to get ripped. We ripped Peyton Manning when he would be an MVP and not look the same in the playoffs. Stop patronizing Lamar Jackson. He doesn't need your sympathy. He doesn't need your pandering. He's a rock star. He's going to win MVP. He's going to be worth $50 million to $100 million. He's fun to watch. He's going to keep winning games. But this, he had two picks, a fumble, and wasn't good in situational football. And he's the MVP. He doesn't, that last two times I've watched him in a playoff game, he hasn't looked the same as in the regular season. He's a baby. He'll get better. But the criticism's fair. God, the media's been on this whole thing with Lamar. First of all, he gets drafted in the first round, and the media's like, this is outrageous. Fire the GMs. Why? He got drafted in the first round. Roger Staubach got drafted in the 10th. Unitas 9th. Brady 6th. It's a hard position to evaluate. Then there's this thing this weekend. He didn't lose the game. He had 350 yards. He didn't play well, folks. Most of his yards were Dak yards. They were garbage yards. Put it on the screen. First three quarters, his passer rating was 47. He had three turnovers. He didn't throw for a touchdown. In the fourth quarter, what do you know? Tennessee's punting the ball, prevent defense. He racked him up. So at the end, you can run over to your stats and say, look, 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 he played well. He didn't. He was 0 for 4 on fourth down. He looked rattled. He threw two picks, one not his fault. Sorry, there's still picks. He had a fumble. And he's not really ideally like Mahomes. He's not ideally built to come from way back. Their offense, frankly, is not really, not. This is not all on Lamar. Their offense is not really ideally built to play from deficits, which is why I think Lamar will go to the laboratory this offseason. And just like he did from year one to year two, Lamar's going to get a little better at the passing and a little more comfortable. And it took Russell Wilson 3 years. And it takes most young quarterbacks. Did you see Josh Allen's playoff game? He freaked out. You ever seen Sam Darnold, who I love? Sometimes he freaks out. Jared Goff. These are kids. They're babies. But stop the coddling. He didn't play well. It happens. He's a kid. And all the questions why he dropped in the first round are legitimate. He never completed 60% of his throws. He ran for a ton of yards, and people thought he kind of plays like RG3. They kind of have the same build, and RG3 was a bust. So people were a little apprehensive, and Baltimore said, we're not going to take him with our first pick. We're going to take him with our second pick. And then all of a sudden, by week 11, they're like, Joe Flacco stinks. He's old, tired, and expensive. We're done. Let's try this thing. And it worked, kind of. And this year, it worked a lot. But it's okay to criticize him. And it's okay that he was the last or next to last pick in the first round. Stop pandering. Stop protecting him. He doesn't need our sympathy. He's going to win a bunch of games. Baltimore won 12 straight. They're going to win a. They're not going anywhere. Baltimore's not going anywhere, and this young man has shown the ability to improve. Now, I've said before, if you're asking me 12 years, I not only like Mahomes better than Lamar, I like Kyler Murray more. I think Kyler Murray is the best player in the league that nobody watches because he played in Arizona. I think Kyler Murray's a pass first, run second guy, and I do think I like my quarterbacks preferably to be that. But the constant protecting, don't criticize him. He didn't play well. He's an MVP, and he hasn't looked as good in the postseason. We ravaged Peyton Manning. It's part of the game. You can't get all the love and be called the best thing ever and then go into the playoffs and not be able to play as well from behind and not play well in big spots. Playoff games aren't won by yards. Playoff games are won by fourth down turnovers, don't make any situational football, and he wasn't great at that. And it's okay. He will be over and over again over the next 10 years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I want to talk about the 49ers. So we have four teams left. None of them look like San Francisco. There is not a box, folks, they don't check. The size box, the speed box, the kick your arse box, the intimidation box, the O-line box, the left tackle, the right tackle box. They check them all. And this is a team that humiliates the Packers. This is a team, ask Baker Mayfield, ask Aaron Rodgers, ask Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. They humiliate you. The way to beat San Francisco, to me, is Russell Wilson, is Kyler Murray, is Lamar Jackson. Off script, where you can't, even their great defenses, this is the way to beat Alabama for years, a quarterback that can do stuff off the script. If a quarterback is going to be six steps behind the center and they know it, good luck. They are loaded defensively. Dee Ford, Quan Alexander, maybe the most athletic linebacker in the league. DeForest Buckner, Armstead, Nick Bosa. It is filthy. And the 85 Bears were never a dynasty. But 30 years later, we look at those Bears and we're like, who? In a one-gamer? Even the Niners with Montana, no Patriot team, maybe beats the 85 Bears. Now, San Francisco obviously has to win the conference championship. But they look a lot like the Bears on that defense. Now, obviously they're giving up far more yards than the Bears did because quarterback play is much better. The best athletes now in the world are playing quarterback. Everybody gives up yards. Everybody gives up points. The league is so much better now at quarterback and so much more sophisticated than it was back in 1985, where everybody's a pocket quarterback. Everybody's sitting there, not very elusive. Here comes all the Bears and knock them over. But here's the thing to remember about the 49ers. There has been three seasons for the Niners. This is not one season. The first season, they were 8-0, and they were knocking people out in the first round. Then, eight of their best players got hurt. Both tackles missed games. Their fullback, a Pro Bowler, missed games. Quan Alexander is out. Emmanuel Sanders got hurt. George Kittle got hurt. The whole team got hurt. And essential parts to their team, not named Jimmy Garoppolo, got hurt. Then they were vulnerable. That's stage two. Now we're in stage three. All the boys are healthy again. You don't want any part of them. You don't want any part of San Francisco. They look different. Like Kansas City's offense is like San Francisco's team. Let's double Kittle. Can't. Debo, Emmanuel Sanders. All right, they're a pass team. No, not really. Their coach is Shanahan. They're a power run team. Their running backs can catch. Their fullback was actually a great tight end in college. Their receivers are big. No, wait, they're Emmanuel Sanders. They're veterans. They're young. Kittle's a superstar. Folks, this is what – I'm not saying this is a dynasty, but I'm saying they check all the boxes. And I heard this. Well, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, come on, he what? They don't need Jimmy Garoppolo to be a stat freak. The Giants didn't need Phil Sims to be a stat freak. By the way, Montana's numbers were good. But if you go back and look at Joe Montana's numbers, they were not beholden just to Joe Montana. He left. Steve Young won. This team, when they're healthy, has got so many elements of an 85 Bears look to them where they just knock you out. They just you are humiliated. I love what I see. And by the way, most of the teams that are left, we're defining them. You know, most great teams, we define quarterback, wide receiver, running back. You can argue Green Bay has the best quarterback, the best single receiver, and the better running back than San Francisco. You can argue, but San Francisco's also good at those positions and better everywhere else. D-line, O-line, linebacker, secondary, tight end. I think this San Francisco team does not look like the rest of the teams. I don't think they look like it. I think it's not that complicated in football. Watch the game. Watch the velocity. Watch the hitting. Watch the power. I mean, it is not like San Francisco was stopping the run against Minnesota. They were pushing San Francisco back for 3.5 hours. It did not look like the other games.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Colin right, Colin wrong. I'm plenty of both. Let's fire away.
Where Colin was right?
For both Seattle playoff games, Russell Wilson was Seattle's leading rusher. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I'm saying he's the best football player in the National Football League. The idea that this guy goes on the road to Philadelphia and Green Bay and he comes to within basically a 3rd and 8 that Green Bay completed of winning this football game, they're missing 2 offensive linemen, they're on their 3rd string center, they don't have their 3 best running backs. I mean, it's incredible. What the only reason that game's even competitive yesterday, and I did not like Seattle's play calling in the first half at all. Stop pretending you're going to walk into Green Bay and run for 200 yards. Marshawn Lynch was on the beach 3 weeks ago. Give the ball to Russell and pass your way to magic. This guy is absolutely unbelievable. And again, I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the league, although I think you can make an argument. But as a football player, he's unbelievable. That game should never have been close. I'll say this, if Seattle had 2 of their 3 best running backs, I would have taken them to win that game outright. Once again, they almost win with virtually no running game.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I called the Kansas City Chiefs a windbreaker team about 2 months ago. I said they're not built for December and January. I think they lack physical toughness. They don't run the football enough. They won't be able to eat the clock, and the playoffs are about physicality. But you know what? They showed a ton of resolve. Their defense now has looked more physical than it has in weeks. I thought it was a really special moment to overcome that deficit. Obviously, we know that. But I also think it needed to be seen by everybody that doesn't live in Kansas City. This is a tough team. It's a team with character. It's a team with resolve. And frankly, those are the elements I worried about. They're a little fancy. They're fast. You know, they got all the fun windbreaker guys out there. But what happens when it's cold? You fall behind. You got to punch a team in the neck. And I thought Kansas City right now deserves exactly where they are. They got tougher. Their defense got better. They look like a team that can play in all the elements. I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Been a Jimmy Garoppolo guy since he was a backup in New England. I said it for years. Go get him. He's got an it factor. And I know, Colin, they didn't even use him this weekend. Tom Brady's second playoff game, he went 12 for 18. They didn't need to use him. This is not a guy that's going to pout if he doesn't get 34 throws. His career will never be defined by stats because Kyle Shanahan, from his father Mike Shanahan, is a power football coach. He's going to run the hell out of this team for the next 10 years. They're going to draft running backs and offensive linemen. He's not going to win MVPs, and he's not going to be a stat guy. But he is an it guy. He is a guy that when people are saying yesterday, well, what did he do? He won the toughest division in football. The Rams and McVay and that Aaron Donald and the Seahawks and Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. He won a division. He won in New Orleans. He had a chance to beat Lamar in Baltimore. And during the season, when this team fell apart physically, both tackles were out. The fullback was out. Kittle was out. He kept them floating. Remember, they had to ask him about 3 times this year during the injuries. Dude, save us. The defense is all hurt. And all 3 times he did. He's the real deal.
Where Colin was wrong.
I made my biggest bet ever and took Clemson over Ohio State, and I rolled it into Baltimore, and I don't know what the heck happened, but that's the strangest football game I've ever seen. Can somebody explain Tennessee? Tennessee has now beaten Brady in New England and Lamar in Baltimore, and has completed a total of 15 completions in both games. I don't know what I'm watching. It's incredible. Listen, there's surprises all the time in football. I don't even know how to explain Tennessee. Tannehill's throwing for 70 yards, and they're going to Foxborough and winning and going to Baltimore and winning? It's like 1974 football. And I guess this is why the NFL's king. In the NBA, you'd be like, well, we've got six more games left in the seven-game series. In the NFL, if you have a bad half, you have a bad half, you're in big trouble, especially if you're Baltimore and you're kind of built to play with a lead, not play from behind. I was way wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Said it before the season started. I said, I love what Green Bay's doing with their defense. Nobody's going to talk about Preston Smith or Za'Darius Smith in free agency, but they're excellent players, especially Preston Smith, and yesterday they both had two sacks. Two things never win Super Bowls in the NFL. Crazy owners and bad defenses. You can have flaws. You can have all sorts of flaws in the NFL. You can't have a bad defense. In Green Bay, for most of the last 7-8 years, has been Swiss cheese back there. It's been paper thin. They went out and they got free agents, but mid-level free agents, and they got athletic linebackers in a very talented NFC. And what do you know? Those linebackers were essential. Now, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't win a Super Bowl next couple of years, it's on Aaron because he now has a real running game and a real defense. It's not San Francisco's defense. I'm not saying that. But it's a big boy defense with playmakers at linebacker.
Where Colin was wrong.
When Joe Judge got hired by the Giants, I thought it was an absolutely disastrous move. But you know what? After reading every article on Joe Judge, I think I was a little too hot on it. I don't know if he's going to succeed, but Saban and Belichick both came out with strong endorsements. He's had three or four press conferences. One, the big one, he hit a home run. And the other things he's saying sound great. And by the way, Josh McDaniels, who I thought should get this job, the more I read over the last 4 days about Josh McDaniels, they made a good choice, not at least going with Josh McDaniels. Let's wait and see on Joe Judge. I called it a terrible hire. I think I'm too hot on it. I like what I've seen. I like the coordinator and the coaching moves he's made, and he's been fantastic so far in front of the mic.
Where Colin was right.
Not a fan of Bill O'Brien. I don't think he's a terrible coach. But have you ever noticed with the Houston Texans, and this is why I don't trust them, and I thought Kansas City was going to roll. Even when they're winning, it doesn't look smooth. It's clunky. It's not well-oiled. It feels like they're making it up as they go. I did not love the fake punt call. Although I'm not going to crush coaches on fakes that don't go. I mean, we want our coaches to take risks. You take a risk. I didn't love the not going for it on fourth and an inch. I didn't love that. But again, situationally, I'm not going to bash him. But be honest, if you're a Houston Texans fan, when's the last time you won a game and it was smooth and it looked well-oiled and everything was into place and you liked the play calling? Everything looks uneven. Always. And they finally have a good first quarter. And then they stink in the entire second half.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Lakers promoted Rob Pelinka. He's now number one in that organization, vice president, basketball ops. I got to be honest. He's an agent that looked like Rob Lowe. I never really bought it. I thought he was out of place. Magic left. I thought it was going to be man overboard. But the Frank Vogel thing's working. The team is second best in the West. The chemistry is outstanding. They got Danny Green, were able to convince him to come over. That works. Initially they had a salary cap snafu, the Magic thing. He had that weird KCP press conference, and I'm like, this doesn't work at all. But I got to be honest, it kind of is working. It's all kind of working, and he's kind of working. Listen, you know, he's an agent. I'm like, well, I mean... Who knows? Agents deal with stars. The Lakers are full of stars. Jeannie Buss is a star. It's a star-driven organization. But I got to be honest, since Magic left, hadn't been a lot of misses. It's gone pretty well. They lost both LeBron and AD this weekend, and we're still up 30 at half. It was OKC, but it's working.
Where Colin was right.
The Cavaliers are a disaster the minute LeBron leaves again. Okay, their coach had to apologize for language he used against the players. Kevin Love's having a personal revolt, and Colin Sexton is bad. He may be a bust at point guard. Listen, the bottom line in this organization, they have been a grease fire for 30 years. The only time they're not is when LeBron enters and then he exits, and then an hour later, they're terrible. Player revolt, Colin Sexton can't play, the coach doesn't fit. This has always been one of the great qualities of LeBron or any superstar. It's not just about what you do when you leave. What happens to the organization you bail on? The Cavs, once again, are poorly run.
Where Colin was right.
I never understood why Jimmy Johnson wasn't a Hall of Famer. He's one of the three or four best football coaches of my life. Seriously, Bill Walsh, Belichick, Jimmy Johnson, and not many people above them. I didn't watch Lombardi, and this weekend, Jimmy finally got what he so richly deserved.
It's my great honor to tell you that you're going to be the 328th Hall of Famer into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And your legacy is going to be in Canton, Ohio forever. Congratulations, Coach. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Hey, Buzz. Oh, my God. That is awesome.
Jimmy Johnson, I come in every Sunday morning to this network, and I do a football show. And I don't have to. The company doesn't force me to. One of the reasons I come, because I sit down with Jimmy Johnson every Sunday morning. He's the first to get here, and I pepper him with a bunch of questions, and he gives me a bunch of answers, and I have never worked with a human being that makes me smarter about football than Jimmy Johnson. What you're seeing is a beloved figure, a quirky, funny guy who's got the greatest stories, many he can't share. I have never learned more about football from any human than I've, and I've learned a lot from Howie and a lot from Terry, a lot from a lot of people. Dave wants that. Jimmy is, there is no, you, once you meet Jimmy Johnson and talk to him, you're like, oh, that's why he's one of the greatest coaches ever. I've never learned more football from any human than Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, I was very happy for him. I was crying watching that yesterday.
Yeah, once I saw Coach Troy Aikman cry, I got, you know, into the field a little bit.
No, I mean, Jimmy is very well deserved and very long overdue. I'm very happy for him. He drafted my brother and introduced my brother into the Hall of Fame also. So
yes, by the way, he drafted your brother, and Jimmy's greatest strength of his many, an eye for personnel. Remember Zach Thomas?
Yep, little he's a finalist this year.
Okay, so nobody likes Zach Thomas out of college. Everybody passed in your brother.
Jason was on the third round.
So he's one of the great, and I've asked Jimmy a million times, what do you look for? What do you look for? His answers are fascinating.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He was a number one pick, Super Bowl champ, decade and a half in the NFL, and a four-time Pro Bowler, one of the great arms of all time, and now he's running, of course, one of the great, I got to tell you, we're going to go live to him, Drew Bledsoe. Via the Coward Global Satellite Network, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Yes, yes, he owns a winery. It's called Double Back. That's the greatest single shot I've ever seen on this show. So congrats for the free marketing. You're a smart man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Colin, man. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Quarterback play yesterday as a former Pro Bowler. What did you make of the weekend's quarterback play?
I think it was the best single day of quarterback play that I've witnessed, at least in recent history. All four guys played at a truly elite level. You know, there are a couple different kinds to me of greatness and exceptionality. You know, there's one, you know, you equate it to basketball. You know, the guy that makes the free throw to win the game at the end. You know, that's a big deal, but you're supposed to make your free throws, right? You know, it's doing the ordinary thing in extraordinary circumstances. And so when you have a quarterback that's working from the pocket, doesn't get hit, throws to open guys, even in big moments, those are glorified. That's one kind of greatness. What we saw yesterday, though, was truly exceptional talent and ability by all four guys. It was really amazing to watch.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, there is a little Favre. I mean, you are a guy that could spin it. There's a lot of different elements to him. He's about as good a passer. He has some Marino stuff, right?
You know, he's really unique. And the thing that's interesting is that the two guys that, you know, as quarterbacks that we all sort of bow down to were both playing yesterday. One's Patrick Mahomes and the other one is Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron, you know, he's been beat up a little bit and all this, but let me just give you a little equation, if I could. You know, I'm not great at math. I'm sure you're not super great at math.
Nope.
Maybe you are, but you can always ask Joy. She could probably explain it to you. But if you think about what you would have to do the math to make that big throw that Aaron made on third down yesterday to Jimmy Graham, you know, Jimmy's running away from him at sort of an obscure angle. He's got to throw the ball up and down over the top of a linebacker, and he's got to do that math. And the whole time while he's doing that and throwing the ball remarkably accurately, he's sliding to his left away from pressure, doesn't even have his feet set, and yet he's still able to make this incredibly accurate throw with the right touch, the right velocity, the right arc, all of those things. It's just amazing, man, when you watch what some of these guys are able to do when they're off balance and still able to throw really accurately. It's just impressive.
Listen, we both love Russell Wilson. Let me be critical of Pete Carroll, who's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. They just won't put their arms around him. They're trying to run the football early. And I'm like, Pete, just give it to Russell. You got a guy out, Marshawn Lynch is, you know, he's on the beach 3 weeks ago. I didn't love Seattle's game plan instead of just embracing Russell. Any thoughts on that?
Well, first, let me say this about Russell Wilson. You know, I think we all know Lamar is probably going to get the MVP this year. But if you're really talking about most valuable player, there is no question who that is. It's Russell Wilson. You know, you're watching that game yesterday. If most any other quarterback is quarterbacking the Seahawks yesterday, I'm not sure they score a point. You know, I'm really not. They get very few first downs. You know, he's able to create. On the move. It was interesting. I was actually thinking last night, because I know your two favorite quarterbacks right now, and I know you don't play favorites, but you love Russ and you love Tommy, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you questions. So when are you most comfortable cheering for Tom Brady? It's when he's in the pocket and things are on schedule, right?
Yeah,
just operating.
Yeah.
When are you most comfortable watching Russ?
When he's moving, always.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if you're cheering for the Seahawks, you want him on the move because nothing bad happens, and it's always something good when he's on the move. He throws the ball remarkably accurately, and then he can pull it down and run for a first down. When he starts moving, you just know something good is going to happen for the Seahawks.
I love this view right here. There's really nobody open, and he throws them open. Okay, so you were texting me during this game. You're like, I see this 541 area code, and I'm like, Oregon, who is sending? Oh, that's Bledsoe. He said, right. So – I don't know Vrabel. He is a man's man. He's got some Jack Del Rio qualities. He's a big dude. And I'm watching him, and as somebody that's been in the Patriots, explain why you love Vrabel as much as you do.
Well, first of all, Vrabes, he owes me. He owes me big time. Because the touchdown passes he caught in the Super Bowls, that was because of me. See, he was one of these guys. Vrabel has so much energy. Like, he would run scout kickoff just for fun during practice. You know, as an old vet, he'd just go run down because he had to burn off energy. Well, before games, he had to burn off energy. And so he would come out early, and I was out early, and I'd throw him balls. And he's running around the field catching balls, and he's, you know, really good at it. And Belichick noticed, and next thing you know, the dude's catching touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And he's never sent me, like, anything for that. So, Braves, if you're watching, you know, come on, send me something. Hook a brother up. But he was a guy that was just infectious in the locker room. He's a big dude. He's got a big voice. And everybody loved him. I was only with him for 1 year, which my wife and I both had to Google that. It seemed like we were together for a lot of years, but became great friends right away. But you can't replace the credibility that he has with those guys. They know that he was a certified badass as a player, and he brings that attitude, and you look at him, and you can tell just looking at him, he actually wants to get out there and play.
Yeah.
And you really can't replace that credibility that he has with those guys. He's got them all playing great football, and it's just exciting to watch.
Minute left. The Niners look like the best football team. Does that mean anything to you?
I think they are the best football team. You know, hats off to John Lynch for putting together a team and doing it the right way. You know, they get after the passer. They run the ball well. They built a team from the inside out rather than going and getting the shiny, you know, ornament. Jimmy is doing exactly what he needs to do. He's a great leader for that team. He doesn't make mistakes. And when he's called on to make a big play, he does.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time seeing somebody beating the 49ers. you know, really happy to see Green Bay's success. You know, I love Aaron Rodgers. But man, that's a tall task going in there to San Francisco and trying to take down the Niners. They just look like they're great in every phase.
All right, let's take one more shot of Drew. It's doubleback.wine. Their cab is legendary, highly rated Wine Spectator. Look at that. That is just you can't pay for that kind of marketing, Drew. It's
Joe. I appreciate you, buddy. I always appreciate you. You're always kind. And you know, maybe I'll even send you a bottle of wine. All you got to do is send me your Visa number, and I'll send you some wine.
Buddy. All right. good talking to you, Drew.
All right, thanks, bud.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So tonight, LSU, it's essentially a home game, plays Clemson, but it's not really a home game. Should be noted, the two teams in this playoff that have ever played a home game, both lost. I don't take a ton from that. It's not really a home game. Clemson's going to have 35,000 people there. The home teams are 0-2 when they've in the playoff had an opportunity. So I think Clemson wins tonight, and here are my five reasons. I've given this a ton of thought. Here are my five reasons.
Clemson versus LSU.
Number one, it's called my Mike Tyson theory. Mike Tyson, only 10 of his first 37 fights went to the fourth round. The key with Tyson was he threw with such velocity and power, just get to the fourth round. It was so alarming. So when Clemson, who had a weak schedule, played Ohio State, it was the first team they played in 5 months with 15 NFL guys. And Ohio State, like Tyson, the power of Ohio State put Clemson back on their heels. End of the first quarter on, Clemson averaged 7.5 yards a play, forced 2 turnovers, rushed for 150 yards, scored 29 points, and was clearly the better team. It's the Mike Tyson theory. When you played a weak schedule, the first quarter against the really good team, Ohio State, it gets you back on your heels. From the end of the first quarter on, Clemson did whatever they wanted against Ohio State's great team. Mike Tyson theory, Clemson, now facing LSU, is not going to be back on their heels. They'll be ready to roll snap one. Number two. The better coach quarterback combination. Dabo Sweeney's been in 8 of these games and 3 national title games. Ed Orgeron's been in 1. Who's a better quarterback? Trevor Lawrence is a transformational talent. Joe Burrow's had a great year. Okay, Trevor Lawrence, 25-0 as a starter. He's accounted for 3 touchdowns in 9 straight games. Joe Burrow did not face a single opponent this year that has a current top 10 pass defense. Clemson's number one in the country. Just be honest about it. Dabo's a better coach, and Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback. That's a big edge when you've had 7, 8, 9 days to wait. Number three, the no respect card. So Clemson's a 5.5-point dog. That's funny. They were a 5.5-point dog to Alabama last year and won by 28 points. LSU's offense is getting all the love. But Clemson's is higher ranked. LSU's defense, oh my God. Clemson's is higher ranked. All Clemson has done for the last 7 days is hear how great Ed Orgeron is and how great Joe Burrow is and how Clemson has no shot to win this game. Did you guys watch Bama and Clemson last year? And Bama last year, I think, was better than LSU this year. Statistically, they were. And Clemson beat them by 4 touchdowns. Clemson hasn't allowed 25 points to anybody all year. The no respect card. Reason number 4. Been here before. 37 players on the roster for Clemson have taken a snap in a national championship game. 0 for LSU have. This is the 4th time in 5 years Clemson's been in this game. I've had guys like Bill Romanowski on. He said, I played in all sorts of conference championships. My first Super Bowl, I don't remember the first 8 minutes. I don't remember it. This is the biggest game for LSU coaches, players, by far in their life. Almost a half of Clemson's roster has been in this game more than once. Finally, LSU's defense. I don't think it's great. None of the 8 national champions have ranked as poorly in scoring defense as LSU did this year. None. 5 of the 8 last national champions were number one in scoring defense. Clemson's number one in scoring defense. If you look at LSU's defense, I saw Tua on a bad leg tear it apart. I saw Ole Miss tear it apart. They're 27th in points per game, 56 pass defense, 40th in sacks, and 84th in red zone. I don't trust this defense, and I think LSU brings back every important player off their offense from last year. So Mike Tyson theory, coaching quarterback theory, been here before theory, no respect theory, and LSU's defense, they don't get to the quarterback that much. Trevor Lawrence going to have time to throw. So I will take Clemson in a shootout, going to be